preach something different. I've been thinking about that a long time. And this week, because there was a difficult psalm, at least to do for 1 week, and a difficult passage in John, I did it both in the morning and in the evening. And I thought we would start on Daniel, and then, you know, not maybe every week, but every once in a while, I would preach a little from Daniel. And today is Daniel 1, and if God will help me, I'll read the first whole chapter. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your face as looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all None was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. The title of my message to you tonight is Dare to Be Like Daniel. I don't exactly copy the song Dare to Be a Daniel, because I think Daniel was a unique person. And you can be a Daniel, having that name. And none of you ladies would probably want to be named Daniel. You may be Danielle, but not Daniel. But to be like him, you don't have to change your name. And yet the name Daniel means God is judge. And it was appropriate because Israel was judged by God early in Daniel's life. That's what we read about in these first few verses when it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. At that time, God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come down and take Jerusalem. And at this point, Daniel is probably less than 15 years old. Daniel is one of the few men in Scripture, in all of Scripture, of which nothing bad is said. Now, this doesn't mean that he never, ever sinned. And Scripture tells us all have sinned other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But there was nothing in his life that is mentioned that he did bad, even though we read quite a bit about him. And tonight I want us to learn from Daniel's life. What are some things that we can follow him on or copy about him? Well, one of the things we see in Daniel in this passage is Daniel was sought after. As I already read, Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. And as he did, Nebuchadnezzar was taking whatever he wanted to take. And he sought the valuables. He sought gold. It says here with some of the articles of the house of God. Now a lot of these, if you remember from our study of the book of Exodus, they were gold. They were valuable in that sense. And he says he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Why is it in the treasure house? Because it's gold, because it's valuable. And then Nebuchadnezzar sought valuable children. These children were captured. I mean, they didn't volunteer to go. They were taken away from their parents, or their parents were killed. Verse 3 says, then the king instructed Aphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. And so these were the ruler's kids, the wealthy people's kids, the kids that were considered the best of the best of this conquered people. These children were the best, as it says in verse 4, young men in whom there were no blemish, meaning I guess they had no scars or acne or any kind of markings that were bad, but good looking. All of these children were nice looking, gifted in all wisdom, meaning they were picking the smart ones, and then possessing knowledge and quick to understand. And so some of these already had knowledge, and they were quick to learn. And then he says these children would be servants, slaves, who had ability to serve, not just anywhere, but in the king's palace. And these children were not Nebuchadnezzar's children, but they would be taught Nebuchadnezzar's ways. It says, and of whom, verse 4, they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And so they take them from their homes, and they are going to take them and make them their own. Part of the way they do that is with good food. You know, it's sometimes said the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I think the same thing applies to little boys and maybe little girls as well. He sought their hearts and he would win them through their tummies. It says, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, meaning the best foods that he had. That's what he was going to give them, the food that he ate. And it says, of the wine which he drank. And so the best food and the best wine. And 3 years of training for them. So that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And then we're given the names. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then he talks about the names they were given. But if you read the rest of Daniel's book, you'll see him continually sought after. Here he's sought after. Why? Well, because he's young, because he's good looking. Would he always be young and good looking? No. If you go through the book of Daniel, by chapter 5, he's serving Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And so he's got to be quite a bit older by that time. Nebuchadnezzar's probably passed on. Nebuchadnezzar's father has probably had some time of ruling. And then the grandson is there. And the grandson, if you remember, had forgotten Daniel. Daniel had been, you could say, for a while, he wasn't sought after. He was sort of put on the shelf. And, you know, Belshazzar was very ungodly. And he only sought Daniel, if you remember, when the writing was on the wall. And he got scared. And his mother, his grandmother, he called. She said, oh, there's a man. He can interpret these signs. He's to do that for Nebuchadnezzar. And he finds Daniel, and Daniel interprets that. But at that point, he was only sought after for a short time, and Belshazzar was dead. And then again, with Darius and the Medes, he will be back again in leadership as a much older man. Secondly, though, we see not only was Daniel sought after, but he was also single-minded. Verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, we don't know if there was any sinful thing for him to eat of these things. If there was pork or something, maybe it would have defiled him, but we don't know that. And if it were pork, he could have identified other meats that he might have ate and could have ate some of the delicacies. And I don't think that this is an example of Daniel rejecting pork, because he only eats vegetables and water, and he also rejects wine. And there was nothing in the Hebrew law that would have told him he could not drink some wine. And so here it's not just a rejecting of things that were illegal or against his law, but also things that would have been wonderful to his taste. Something that now he's getting more and more, he would get more and more comfortable in Babylon, even though he was a captive there. And he probably wants to remember his own country, his own people, and his own God. And he doesn't want to be taken away from those things, even by enjoying the meals that he gets that are the king's meals. And in this, he is an example to his friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And not only to them, but I believe to all of us, even through the book of Daniel, not Daniel, because later in Daniel, in 11, verse 32, he says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits, carry out great exploits. And so there he prophesies, and I've told you before, this is that particular verse. He's talking about when Antiochus Epiphanes took over, and he corrupted the people, and many of the people followed him and broke God's laws, but those who were faithful, those who knew their God, stood fast. And that's what Daniel was doing, even as a young man. Even as a young man, you could say he had Solomon-like wisdom. Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3 says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, meaning a king, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are a deceptive food. Here's Solomon, who was a king, and he's instructing his sons, when you sit before a king and he gives you a feast, be careful about it. And he's not telling them to be careful because of diet. He's telling them to be careful because the king is using that food because he wants to persuade you. He wants to win your heart. He wants to say, hey, I gave you this meal, you do this for me. And he's winning you that way. And Daniel would have had the book of Proverbs. Solomon was before Daniel. And he would have, even as a young man, had an opportunity to read that verse. And now he's in the king's palaces. And he's given the king's food. And the king's training him in the way of the Chaldeans. And he doesn't want to be won that way. He has the wisdom of Solomon to know he needs to be true to his God. He saw Nebuchadnezzar's design in the delicious foods that he had. Lawful luxuries, there's nothing against the law against that, can lead us a long length from the love of the Lord. As it says in 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, about the kind of things that we're talking about here. Whether it's food or drink or what you watch on TV or what kind of books you read. All of these things have an influence or can influence our lives. And each of us, and I'm not talking about watching X-rated movies. I'm not talking about drinking till you're drunk or having a food contest where you're eating 100 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about here is all of these things we have to make decisions on individually about how they are affecting our walk with Christ. It'll be different for each one of us. Some of us can go and do certain things, whereas others, it would be a sin. And if we have the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, or any of these things in the world are pulling us away from God, we have to be pulled back. And Daniel avoided those foods in his particular circumstance that would have been fine for him to eat in other circumstances. But he knew as a captive in Babylon, he had to control something if he could control it at all. And he did. As a much older man, Daniel saw and understood how passing the things, the treasures, the kingdoms of this world are. Again, Daniel 5, verse 16 and 17. If you remember, what happened in Daniel 5? In Daniel 5, they're having a big party, Belshazzar is. And he's celebrating. All the time, the Medes and the Persians are probably surrounding Babylon. But Babylon had these great walls, and he figured there's no way they can get past these walls. So instead of readying himself to defend himself, he has a party. And in the middle of the party, a hand comes out of the wall. Can you imagine what that would be like? You look over here, and all of a sudden there's a hand. Just a hand, no arm, no body connected to it. A hand coming out of the wall, and it's writing a message on the wall. And that's what Belshazzar sees. And it writes a message on the walls, and says his knees were knocking together. He was afraid. And he needs to find out what that message is. He can't read it. And finally they find Daniel. And the message was basically, this is my own paraphrase, you're done for, Belshazzar. Tonight you're going to die. And your kingdom is going to be given to another. And that was the message. Here, in 16 and 17, is part of that passage. It says, and I have heard of you, this is Belshazzar talking to Daniel, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing, meaning the writing on the wall, and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and you shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Now, those sound pretty good, don't they? And yet it says that then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known its interpretation. Daniel didn't want those rewards. And one of the reasons that he didn't was they were passing. You know what passing means? It means they will soon be gone. If you had a pound of gold, and it was worth however much that's worth, and you held it, and you could only hold it for 1 second, somebody else would take it away. Which would you rather have? A half pound that you could keep forever, or a whole pound that you could hold for 1 20-second period? Yeah, the half a pound is worth more. Well, at the end of the chapter, it says, then Belshazzar gave command, because Daniel did interpret it rightly, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And it says that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Daniel 5:29-31. And so that's about how, maybe a couple hours, he had that position of third ruler in the kingdom. It didn't last long, because why? The kingdom didn't last. The kingdom was judged. And that's the way it is with all the kingdoms in this world. What's that? They will one day be gone. There's not a king in this world that's ever going to rule forever. If you think of it, not Trump, not Obama, not whoever the next president is, he's going to last 4 years, maybe 8 years, and that's about it. But let's say he was elected for life. Doesn't he die? And one day, the whole world will be ended, and Jesus will come back and reign forever. Julius Caesar was stabbed in the back. The great Roman empires, all the emperors who thought they were so great, they called themselves God. The name Augustus meant reverend one. It meant that he was God. That's what he thought about himself. But he's buried in the ground somewhere. Probably not even... You're probably so rotted now that you probably couldn't even know his skeleton. Yep. And that's the way things are in this world. And Daniel's an example of that. He was third ruler in Babylon for a few moments of one day. And then actually he was so successful, he ruled in the next kingdom. But he was a leader in that. And that's the next point. Daniel was successful. And this is verses 9 through 21. I'm not necessarily going to read all these. In this circumstance, as a youth, as a young man, what was the circumstance? Well, we read it at the beginning. There were certain foods that were going to be given to Daniel and his friends. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat of these. And he prayed to God that God would help him in this circumstance. And he asked the eunuch who was over them for permission not to eat of the king's delicacies. He would only have vegetables and water. Now about this, because I'm fat, some people, even this last week, somebody suggested the Daniel fast. Have you ever tried the Daniel fast? Well, what's the Daniel fast? It's eating only vegetables and water. Now, no, actually it's not a fast. If you're eating something, I don't think that qualifies as a fast. But they call it that because it's in the Bible. But I think it's interesting what it says here about it, because it says... It says after they did this for 10 days, had only vegetable and water, it says at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better, and they were fatter in flesh than all the rest of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. So the Bible says they were fatter. They didn't get skinny. They got fatter on that diet. But anyway, Daniel was successful. He convinced the eunuch, and he did get fatter, meaning healthier and stronger, and he proved to be wiser along with his friends. And his success continued even into his old age. In Daniel 6, 1 through 3, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. I believe the Holy Spirit of God. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, the king was thinking of setting Daniel over everything, making him ruler over the whole realm. What happened then? Well, some of the guys got together, the bad guys, and they decided that they'd make a law not to pray to anybody except for the king for a certain amount of time. And Daniel kept praying to God. And Daniel ended up thrown in a den of lions. And the lions didn't eat Daniel. And then when Daniel got out, all the bad guys were thrown in that lion's den. And so even when he was opposed, because of his integrity, because of his righteousness, and because of his prayer, he was saved. And so we'd see, if we read all of chapter 6, and I won't, but you'll see if you did, that Daniel was successful despite ungodly opposition, even amid trial. I mean, he didn't know when he went down there that he was not going to get ate. He prayed that he wouldn't, and the king was praying for him. And we see there was answered prayer for Daniel. I think it's interesting. The prayer was only to be for, to the king. That's what the bad guy said. But when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the king was praying to God for Daniel. And so Daniel was successful as a witness. And yet he did not seek worldly success. In the previous kingdom, he threw all that away. He did not want those things. Fourth, Daniel trusted in God's sovereignty, in His sovereign power. Verse 2 it says, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God." And as we've already known, he not only took the treasure from Jerusalem, but he took the children from Jerusalem, and Daniel was one of those. And yet, Nebuchadnezzar's taking these things, and taking the children from Jerusalem and from their parents, is not attributed to his superior army, or to his skill or strategy, or to Satan, or to his false gods, even though Nebuchadnezzar said it was. He thought it was, but Scripture says, the Lord gave. And this is what Daniel, I believed from a young age. He knew his people had been sinful. We see that if we read Daniel chapter 9. He knew they were great sinners. He knew they deserved what they got. And he was taken with them. And so he would have been a very humble young man, knowing God was in control of this circumstance. Not only that, but in verse 9, he knew God had control of his circumstance even as a captive. In verse 9 it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs." Notice, again, the favor is attributed to God. It's not attributed to Daniel's smile, or to Daniel's good behavior, or to his personality, or his style of dressing, or anything else like that. It's attributed to God giving Daniel favor with this man. And so God was sovereign while Daniel was a prisoner, even as a young boy. He trusted before he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's interesting. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and he wants them to interpret it. And all of them are scared. And in verse 20 of chapter 2, Daniel, probably still a very young man, maybe even still a teenager, it says, "Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding.'" It's one thing to say those things after you have your answer to prayer, but he was saying those things before his prayer was answered, knowing God would answer him and God would tell him and things concerning Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. He trusted even enough later in Daniel chapter 4 to give Nebuchadnezzar bad news. It's interesting. In verse 25 of Daniel chapter 4, Daniel is speaking to the king, to Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what he says. "They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomever He chooses." Daniel 4:25. Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful, arrogant king. And Daniel was just a servant. And yet Daniel tells him the truth of the prophecy that would or could make Nebuchadnezzar very angry and maybe make Nebuchadnezzar do some things that Daniel wouldn't like. And yet Daniel knew God had told him these things. He knew, too, the other part of this. Not only was Daniel under this Nebuchadnezzar, who was an arrogant, very powerful king, but Nebuchadnezzar had been his friend. He had been nice to him. Nebuchadnezzar had done many good things for Daniel. And so Daniel, after this king has been so good to him, would tell him these negative things. Only if God is allowing him and helping him to do that. And only because he knew God was sovereign. God was in control of this circumstance. And he was. God did do these things to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did lose his mind for 7 years. He did eat grass like oxen. And then finally God restored his kingdom. Even when Daniel himself was thrown to the lions, he knew God could shut the lions' mouths. And he prayed that that would be the case. And God answered that. God protected him in that very dreadful circumstance. And so we see these four things about Daniel. One, he was sought after. First, he was sought after as a young man because he was young, he was handsome, he was intelligent. And then even as he got older, when he probably had lost his youthful good looks and maybe his ways of when he was younger, but because he had integrity, because he grew in wisdom, he still found himself sought after for these other reasons. Not only though was Daniel sought after, he was also single-minded. He had a purpose that he would live for. He wanted to glorify God. He wanted to do what is right. He didn't want to be defiled, even with those things that were legal for him. They were okay for him to eat some of these foods. And yet he limited himself so he could keep his mind on God. And so that he would remember his own people and his own circumstances. So he would not be brainwashed, you could say, by the delicious foods that Nebuchadnezzar might give him. Daniel was 30, was successful. As a youth, he was successful. As an interpreter of dreams, he was successful. Later, as a ruler and a politician, he was successful. As a young man and as an old man, and even when he was on the shelf, you could say there was a time period between Nebuchadnezzar and the end of Belshazzar, that we don't hear much of Daniel. What happened during those times? Well, we don't know. But Daniel still, I believe he still stuck with God. He still served in whatever way he could. And he patiently waited until God gave him a place again. And all these things are brought together by God's trust, or Daniel's trust in God's sovereign power. He knew that though Babylon was a powerful nation, God was in control of their taking Israel. He knew that though he was a captive, God could give him favor with the chief of the eunuchs. He knew that God could help him interpret dreams, that God would rule even over Nebuchadnezzar, and ultimately God was sovereign even over the hungry lions' mouths, even to the point where none of the lions wanted to eat Daniel. But just moments after Daniel was taken out of the pit and the bad guys were thrown in, it says that they killed them and started eating them, some of them before they even hit the bottom as they were thrown in. So those were hungry lions. But God kept their mouths shut for Daniel. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Daniel and his example. He's one of the few men, young men in scriptures, who became an older man in scripture. And we read in scripture of a great deal of the portions of his life, and that there's a whole book in the Bible named after him. And Father, we thank you for him, and we could dare to be like a Daniel, people who walk with integrity, people who pray like Daniel prayed, people who seek your favor, and Father, people who are useful for you in this world. We pray that we might be like Daniel in these things. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.